Chapter 7. Israel, the Blood Covenant People. I want to call your attention to several miracle things in connection with Israel, the Blood Covenant People. This covenant guaranteed to them physical protection, protection from their enemies, from the pestilence, and from diseases. They went into Egypt and became a great nation of over 3 million people. God brought them forth by a series of miracles that absolutely stagger the human reason. He did this because he was in blood covenant relationship with Israel and was under bond to deliver them. As they stood on the shore of the Red Sea after they had been delivered from their bondage, God said, "I am the Lord that healeth thee." Then he promised them that none of the diseases of the Egyptians should ever come upon them. He was their blood covenant physician. We can hardly grasp this. We know that for 40 years they wandered in the desert land. God gave them the cloud for protection from that fierce desert sun. At night he gave them the pillar of fire for light and heat. God gave them food and water. He met their every need. Then God gave them the blood covenant law. We call it the Mosaic law because Moses was the instrument through which it came to Israel. This law was to separate them from all other peoples of the earth. It was to make them a peculiar people on whom God could bestow unusual blessings, and it was on the basis of the blood covenant. The covenant was the center around which all of Israel's life moved. After the giving of the law was broken. A priesthood was imperative. There had never been a divinely appointed priesthood in the human race before, but now God appointed the priesthood and the high priest. With the priesthood were given the atonement offerings. Never before had there been an atonement offering, or the great day of atonement. All the offerings they had known had been the peace offerings of the whole burnt offering. Now God appointed a special sacrifice in which the blood was to cover the broken law and cover spiritually dead Israel so that God could dwell in their midst. The word atonement in the Hebrew means to cover, and God gave it because of the life that was in the blood, and that life in the blood served as a covering for spiritually dead Israel and its broken law and Israel's unfitness to stand uncovered in the presence of God. The blood covenant priesthood headed up in the high priest. He became the surety of the covenant. He stood between the people and God. Once a year, he entered into the Holy of Holies to make the yearly atonement. This was the only time the high priest ever functioned unless some grievous sin broke out among the people. The high priest's function was peculiar in that once a year, he made the covering of atonement for the people and confessed the sins of the people on the head of the scapegoat, and then sent him out into the wilderness to be destroyed. His presence was necessary to maintain their fellowship and ensure their protection. With the atonement and the priesthood came the blood covenant sacrifices. The five great offerings mentioned in the first seven chapters of Leviticus were the whole burnt offering, the meal offering, the peace offering, the trespass offering, and the sin offering. These offerings were fellowship offerings and broken fellowship offerings. They had to do with the daily life of the people. When the Israelite was in fellowship, he could bring the whole burnt offering, or the meal or peace offering. When he had sinned against the holy things of God, he brought the sin offering. In this last, the high priest under certain conditions officiated. They were blood covenant people and must be kept in fellowship with the blood covenant obligations and privileges. Blessings of the covenant. God was under obligation to shield them from the armies of the nations that surrounded them. God was under obligation to see that their land brought forth large crops. God was under obligation by the covenant to see that the herds and flocks multiplied. The hand of God was upon them in blessing. They became the head of the nations and of wealth. Jerusalem became the richest city the world had ever known. Their hillsides were irrigated. Their valleys teemed with wealth. There was no city like it, no nation like it. God was their God. They were God's covenant people. Under the covenant, one man could chase 1,000 in war, and two could put 10,000 to flight. In David's day, when covenant truth became a living force in the nation, David had blood-bought covenant warriors that could individually slay 800 men in a single combat. They could, without weapons, rend a lion as though it had been a kid. They had physical strength and prowess. They had divine protection that made them the greatest warriors the world ever knew. They were God's peculiar people. They were the treasure of the heart of God. The judgment. There isn't a more tragic event in the human history than the destruction of the city of Jerusalem and the carrying away of the people into Babylon because they had sinned against the covenant. The heavens became brass. The earth is iron. Their rain was turned to dust. Diseases afflicted them, enemies overran them until their great city, the richest city the world had ever known, was but a heap of ruins. The temple, which cost more money than any other ever reared, was completely destroyed and lay in dust and ashes. They had broken the covenant.